are here at the 2019 NAFQ Annual Conference, the 52nd one, and this time it's in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I am in the studio lounge with Mr. Steve Sukup from Defense Storm. Steve, how are you, sir?
I'm dynamite. Good to see you. Good to be in New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah.
At number 52.
At number 52.
I haven't been to 52.
I haven't either, okay. But I heard they've all been pretty good.
I think so. Next year looks good, too.
Exactly.
Let's not cheat people.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves quite yet.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, hey, so how's the conference going for you so far?
It's going great.
Yeah?
It's going great. Behaving so far. Some good
conversations.
I'm behaving. Okay. Yep. I'm speaking tomorrow, so I have to behave. But good conversations and some great content to
start
the day. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about what you're going to be talking about tomorrow. So you're speaking. So is it the current cyber threat challenge that's you're going to be talking about?
It is. Or? It's about preparing. I think the title is preparing for the next generation of cyber threats.
Mm.
So it sounds pretty foreboding.
Yeah.
You know, looking to the future.
Well, in my notes here, I found this really interesting because there's an increasing number of cyber breaches, yet simultaneously there's a declining volume of cybersecurity talent out there.
Yeah.
That's quite a pickle.
The equation, I don't like to do the whole fear thing, but the equation isn't great. So the incidence of breaches has doubled in the U.S. Year over year.
Wow.
Which is scary.
Yeah.
The probability of what they call, there's a group called Panamon Institute that does a study with IBM.
Right.
The probability of a significant breach and a significant breach for a credit union is 10,000 member records or more. So that's a lot for most of the CUs that are here, is 1 in 4. Those aren't great odds for a community that manages their business by managing risk at some level, right? Combined with that, to your point on talent, there is over a 3 million person gap between supply and demand for certified cyber professionals.
What? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
do you remember the movie The Graduate?
Yes.
The future's in plastics?
Yeah.
No, the future's in cyber.
Exactly.
Your kids working on cyber.
That's what I'm telling like high school.
Absolutely.
Like one of my daughters is just graduating from high school and I'm telling all her friends, if you want a job at a college that's well paying and value right off the bat,
very
cybersecurity.
Very well paying, which is another challenge for credit unions, right? You have scarce IT resources, people are wearing multiple hats.
Mm-hmm.
To go hire a well-paid, well-credentialed cyber pro is costly.
Yeah.
It's really costly. So,
but they're worth their weight in gold if they can keep you out of the headlines, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's what a lot of this is about, is staying out of the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of headlines, Chase, I think they spend $600 million a year on cyber.
Goodness.
They're in the top 10 worst breaches of the century so far.
Gosh.
Spending that much money.
God. I mean, could you imagine though on a daily basis how many hackers are trying to get in there?
Yeah.
In there?
Well, and with increasing moves towards digitization, virtual workforces, just the amount of log events that that one of these people has to review on a daily basis is astronomical. Our average customer, we've got about 50 on our platform, all credit unions and community banks. Our average customer sees 25 million log events a day.
That is, I mean, that's just...
So even if you have the right army of people, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's a big
challenge. I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of us, many, many credit unions, hopefully all of them, are on their digital journey now. But does that open up a little bit of vulnerability, more vulnerability to these hackers? Or should on their digital journey, should they be, or I think they should be, but kind of stacking up their defenses as well as their conveniences.
Yeah, that's one of the best practices we advocate for, and it's really not even part of our business at Defense Storm, but we really believe that InfoSec should have a seat at the table anytime you're thinking about a new initiative, contemplating a new offering, etc. I think in the past, those used to be kind of the, we'd get towards the end of a project, we're about to kick it off, and InfoSec should look at this. It really should be part of the design from
no
day
doubt.
One because it's so critical.
Well, I mean, almost every credit union CEO that I talk to, I was asking, hey, what keeps you awake at night, or what are some of your top concerns?
Yep.
Number one concern almost every time is cyber threats. So, I mean, it's a have to now.
It absolutely
literally
is. And one of the things that we find too is, credit unions have gotten good at processes around their business, right? They've got a lending process, they've got a hiring process, they've got a digital enrollment or a new account opening process.
Mm-hmm.
Most don't have a good cyber process yet. And so we think if you can kind of adopt some core best practice principles and evolve over time, that process will develop and things will get a little safer and sounder. Yeah. But this is one of those races where it's always about staying a couple strides ahead of the slowest peer.
Right. And I keep hearing it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So that's just the reality of where we're living now.
John Chambers from Cisco,
mm-hmm.
Two types of companies, those that have been breached and those that don't realize it yet.
I believe that, loud and
clear.
Well,
we joke about it, but on average, it takes 191 days to realize you've been breached.
Really?
Because the bad actors, you know, they're not doing an interview with you after they've breached somebody, right? They're not tooting their horn.
Yeah.
They're sitting kind of in the shadows looking for vulnerabilities. Because think about, what does a credit union hold that makes them a ripe target? Well, non-public information about your members.
Mm-hmm.
And money.
Yeah, that little thing called money.
And so the bad guys are getting in through a non-critical and sitting and lurking and looking for other vulnerabilities to exploit.
I saw a speaker hack into a credit union, or no, it was a bank, through their security camera system.
Oh, it's
amazing. Yeah. I mean, through something it's that crazy. You would never imagine, but they managed to get in through
it's
the security camera. All the technology that was behind it, they managed to get in that way.
Well, it's interesting, even for the credit unions that are very forward-thinking on this and addressing it, oftentimes they're kind of forced by their technology partners to make what we consider to be bad decisions, right? So a lot of times I'll sit across from an information security officer at a credit union and they'll say, you know, we're managing most of our critical systems, and maybe the security camera system is one that they don't view as,
exactly.
as critical. That's a scary thought, right? If you're not managing all of your critical and then you're non-critical, that's exactly what the bad actors are looking for.
Exactly.
They're just looking for the weakest link.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that leads me to, like, okay, what are a couple of ways that credit unions can solve this challenge right now? And then while preparing for the next generation of cyber attacks, what
can
they do?
One of the things that we talk about is, you know, if you want to talk about making this a process, think about what are some kind of KPIs that you can use to measure, right? What's measured is managed, right? And that helps change a culture around cybersecurity and around compliance. And a lot of the times, you know, Mike, you mentioned this is top of mind for CEOs. Usually the next admission is, but I'm not really sure how to tackle it.
Yeah.
So if you think about some of those other processes that we talk about, they all have KPIs that eventually your board becomes comfortable with, your management team becomes comfortable with. So things like, you know, I throw out that stat about average log volume. Do you know what it is at your credit union? If you don't, let's start measuring it.
Oh yeah,
right?
Most definitely.
You got to figure out how big the pie is before you figure out how to protect it. Then you can start to think about, well, how many incidents do we have? How many alerts do we have? How many incidents get resolved? How many are still remaining open? Those are vulnerabilities, right? And then start trending that data. So I think that's step one, is put some sort of process in place to measure and then to observe trends. And that'll help you prioritize kind of what you do next. Another best practice is, there aren't many credit unions that don't have an incident response plan or a business continuity plan documented. If you don't, do it. That's step one. If you do, you have to test it. It's like any other plan.
Well, it's like a disaster preparedness plan or a business continuity. Same thing.
The threats evolve. Your people change. You have to test it regularly and do it. It's got to be real. And be real about what the results were. And go back and measure and adjust and then test it again next year. Those are really two of the biggest things.
Okay.
It's kind of like a military analogy, right? You know, the Army goes through combat preparedness training, right? And if we're going to get invaded, we hope it happens within 30 days of those exercises, because we're never sharper. And it's kind of the same thing with cyber. You should be doing it more than once a year because the threat's happening in real time.
Yep.
It's not just happening when the NCUA is in knocking on your
door. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would think that they would... I think it would behoove folks in any industry to do something on a monthly basis or something like that, just because it changes so fast.
Yeah, I think there are things like vulnerability scans and things like that that should absolutely be done more frequently than they are. You know, it'd be like going to the doctor every 5 years.
Right.
Doesn't really cut it.
Yeah, that's not a recipe for success.
Things evolve, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. So where do we go from here, Steve? I mean, obviously, this is our new normal now.
Yep.
It's been our new normal for quite a few years.
Yep.
But it sounds like it's getting more and more intense, because staying ahead of the bad guys is getting harder and harder. So
it is.
What do we do?
besides
what you just mentioned.
Well, that's some of it. And I think the other piece is, the good news is, the regulators have frameworks. And I know sometimes regulator is a bad word, but at least it gives credit unions a place to start.
So
part of what DefenseStorm espouses is that in order to be secure, you have to be compliant. And so I think, you know, when we talk about documenting these procedures and testing them, it's also about having InfoSec policies and use, you know, appropriate use policies and things like that for your systems and your access. How do you make sure, usually those are very well defined and very well articulated, and they sit in a beautiful binder in a boardroom somewhere.
Getting dusty.
How do you start to measure and enforce their efficacy in real time?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really, you know, when you talk about staying ahead of the curve and the next generation, it sounds very Star Wars cyberish, but it's really about basic blocking and tackling, basic hygiene around we've got policies and we have controls. How are we doing in terms of enforcing them, measuring them, and adhering to them? I think that's really the key. That's where you go next, and that's where you go and evolve this thing over time. That's how you stay ahead of it.
Exactly, because it's like you said, it's evolving all the time.
Absolutely.
It's never the same two days in a row, for sure.
Absolutely.
Alrighty, sir, I'm gonna give you guys a plug. DefenseStorm, where can we find out more information on you guys?
DefenseStorm.com.
Okay.
Just refresh the website. It's awesome. And this probably won't be posted before I speak tomorrow, but we're doing a lot of speaking within NAFQ, so if you're a NAFQ member, you'll see and hear from us quite a bit.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Good deal. I appreciate you taking time to be in here. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.